It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our little weekly outdoor show here on KETR. I appreciate everybody getting up early and listening, and I also want to remind all of you that may listen online, you don't have to get up this early to listen. You can go to KETR.org and click on local programs, and this show, along with all of our other shows, is archived for years. You can go back several years and listen to past shows that we've got right here on KETR.org. All you have to remember is just to click on local programs. You know, I have had a busy week. I've been helping the Texas Hog Hunters Association get a new magazine off the ground. I may have mentioned that to you last week. I'm not sure. But the magazine's name is going to be The Sounder. You know, a sounder is the name for a group of wild hogs, a family of wild hogs, if you will. But the name of it is The Sounder, the official magazine for the Texas Hog Hunters Association. That's a group, a nonprofit organization, of course, but a group that came into being. They've been around a while. Scott Dover actually started the Texas Hog Hunters Association a year or two ago, but they were in the forefront of the fight against the use of warfarin, you know, the kaput rat poison, and they've been pretty effective. It's not being used right now, and I don't think the battle against warfarin is done just yet, but in the House of Representatives down in Austin, a bill passed very strong. The vast majority of the representatives was against it, and I know they're working toward the Senate now, but the bottom line is, you know, I think the general consensus, not only among hunters, but among environmentalists and people that just love our woods and waters, you know, a lot of people are against it, the use of poison in our ecosystem, and I most certainly am. But I have been working to organize this magazine. I'll be the managing editor of it. And it's going to be a pretty good challenge. I already have Larry Wysoon. Mr. Whitetail is going to be a department writer. And we'll have departments like, night hunting, bow hunting, trapping, helicopter hog hunting. Different experts will have their own departments in our magazine. And I do think it'll be very, very interesting. One thing, earlier this week, I tell you about a hunt. I've got a recipe I want to share with you, too, for using wild game before we wrap our show up today. But I had a very unique, interesting hog hunt. And all of us, all you hunters out there, even if you're not a hunter, you might get a kick out of listening to this one. But occasionally, in the outdoors, things go perfectly just like you planned. In my outdoor endeavors, heavy on the word occasionally. You know, I mean, if you don't enjoy being out there when everything doesn't go just right, you might want to take up golf. But I had one of the most exciting hunts this week for hogs close to my house. I lease a little piece of land it's got a lot of gravel pits on it, and it's got a slough on one side and a big ranch, cattle ranch on the other side. It's just a pretty rough piece of real estate, and it's grown up, you know, it's thick, but it's a haven for wild hogs. Here lately, the hogs have moved, most of them have moved off onto agricultural crops, I think is what they've done, but I watch these trail cameras. I've got a couple of them around two feeders. One is way in the very back of this place. And two nights in a row, a boar, I couldn't tell on the camera just how big he was, but he was a grown boar, had been coming in by himself, as wild boars usually do, unless they're actively breeding with a, you know, a sounder of hogs there with a sow. They're loners. Well, this old boar come in about 10:15 one night, and I think 10:45 the next night. And I watched him on the cameras, and I thought, okay, it's time to go get him. Or go and sit in the quiet night woods for a few hours in a little stand that I've got back in the woods. So, you know, I'm all fired up, but I had a problem. The nearest that I could get a vehicle to this place is a quarter of a mile. The little electric buggy that I use so much, it's on the blink right now. I need to get a micro switch and fix it where I can, if it were running, I could drive it through the through a backwoods trail and get real close to where my hunting spot is. But it's on the blink. So I had to figure out a way to, I hunt for meat. I mean, this boar was grown. Yes, I could tell that. But don't be fooled into thinking a big boar, a younger big boar that weighs 150, 200 pounds that you can't eat them. They're excellent eating. If they're, you know, I mean, not all hogs are excellent eating, but if they're fat and good shape, they're usually really good eating. So I sat around and I thought, okay, if I kill one back in there, how in the world am I going to get him out? Well, I devised a plan. First off, I'm going to have to downscale what I pack back in there on my back. I'm going to have to go light. So I've got this little turkey hunting bag. I carry my turkey calls and all that. It's a waist belt thing. It's a little pouch on it there. So I thought, okay, let me break it down to the bare essentials. What am I going to need out here in these woods if I kill a hog at 10 o'clock at night to get the meat out? So you can think about this a little bit yourself. It's pretty helpful information if you like to hunt. A knife, for sure. I had a good sharp one knife. A lot of times in my pack, I'll carry two or three. One good sharp knife, a rag to clean your hands. And there's another purpose. You can use it to take the weight to pad your shoulder when you're carrying stuff, that same rag. So a good knife, a cloth rag there in the little small fanny pack, we call them. That's part of what I needed. And then I thought, how am I going to pack this hog out? So I took some webbing, and you've probably got some old tie-down straps that you could make one of these out of. I took some webbing and punched a hole in it and tied some parachute cord, about a three-foot strip of string of parachute cord on it, on each end. I made two of them. Actually, I fashioned a carrying strap to carry the hams and the front shoulders of this hog out if I killed one. If I get back in there a quarter mile from the truck, kill one without it, I don't know. You'd be walking. You'd probably be making four trips back to the truck, you know. And at my age, mid-60s, I don't think I was up to that. So I had two of these straps, webbing about 3 foot long with a piece of parachute cord, 3 foot of parachute cord tied on each end. I think you can picture that. And the goal is to put that rag on my shoulders, you know, to pad the shoulders, and then put that webbing over it and suspend a ham and a front shoulder from each side from each shoulder. Okay? So, had all that planned out. Now, I got to figure out how am I going to shoot. I've got to have some way to kill him, of course, and some way to see him at night. So, I've got a little 5.56 rifle. It's pretty light, but I use some Hornady. It's called full bore ammo. That's designed for hunting hogs. So it's pretty light caliber, 223, you know, 5.56. That's pretty light. But trust me, it'll get the job done. I've shot four hogs with that rifle in the last 4 months, I guess, and got every one of them. The furthest one went about 40 yards. So I've got it all planned. Now I'm going to have to see the hog. It's pitch dark. You know, there's not much of a moon this week. So I've got a scope, a digital night scope on top of the little rifle. You may hear the birds. They're up here early waking up with us this morning on this porch. If you hear a little background noise, these are trained birds that'll kind of give us a little bit of outdoor experience as I talk. But anyway, we have to see the hogs at night, right? So this night scope, digital night scope, does a great job. I've got it mounted on the 223. Another thing that is the most handy thing in the world is a night monocular for night vision. Not expensive. You can get them for, I think this one retails for $300 or $400. But the model I've got, it's you know, you just hold it up, it's a monocular, and you can see everything going on within this one. I think it's good out to 125 yards, but my feeder is only 55 yards. So I had that. Anyway, to get down to the hunt part, the old hog came out about 10 o'clock. I shot him. Everything worked like a champ. I was able to field dress him. Those little carrion straps worked perfectly. I just took my time and got back home, put the meat right in a freezer. The next day, I butchered it and made, from some of this meat, some guisado. Guisada, some people call it. A Mexican spicy soup. And I promised you I was going to tell you how I cook that. You might see today, we don't have a guest on the show. It's just you and I winging it. And trust me, there's no format I'm reading. It's just a visit with you. But the guisada is something that's tasty. I took some of the backstrap. This was an older boy. He probably weighed about 185 pounds. I diced up some of the backstrap. This was 2 days later. And put it in a skillet with a little cooking oil and browned it. And then I put some cumin, some garlic powder, a little bit of chili powder in there, some salt, and two jalapenos, diced up, two medium-sized jalapenos. Put those in there with it, and after it was browned, then I put an onion in there. I took a carrot, two carrots actually, cubed them up into little small pieces. You know, little, just diced up, scraped them, and then diced up a couple of carrots. And then a potato, one medium-sized potato, put that in there, and just kind of got it all hot, and, you know, the meat was already done. And then I can a lot of tomatoes, but I put a quart jar of canned tomatoes in there with it. Now, you can use, canned, store-bought tomatoes, that's fine. But I put that in there. And cut it down real low. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I put some celery salt in there, too. Had I had a couple of sticks of celery, I would have put celery in this guisado. But I let it, put a lid on it, and let it cook real, real slow for about, 45 minutes. You know, the meat was already done, and all I really had to do was just get the vegetables tender, you know, and that took place in about 45 minutes. But that is one of the most tasty dishes. You can make it a little hotter if you want to throw three jalapenos. If you don't want it hot at all, leave them out. And you can season it like you want to. Cumin is something you have to have in it to make guisado. But cumin and garlic, if you've got that, salt and the vegetables in there, it makes an awesome guisado. Carne guisado, you've heard of that. Well, this is just a variation, but you can make that from venison, pork, elk, any type of game meat that you've got, you can use it, or domestic meats. And you can eat it as a soup with some corn tortillas buttered on the side, or you can cook it down, reduce the moisture, and just put it on a tortilla, just like you would a taco. Folks, I have enjoyed visiting with everyone this Saturday morning, and my hope is that you'll get out and enjoy the great outdoors and have some fun this weekend. And make sure and remember, KETR.org, you can go there and listen to this show a year from now. So a lot of people have learned that if they don't listen, if they're not up early, they can simply go to KETR.org and go to local programs. Have fun this weekend, folks, and remember, tune in next week. We're going to have some more fun at this same time talking hunting and fishing. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.